Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture readings for today, first from the Old Testament, chapter 23 of Exodus, verse 9. Do not oppress a foreigner, for you yourselves know how it feels to be foreigners, because you were foreigners in Egypt. And the second reading is from the New Testament, second chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 12. Followed by verses 42 through 47. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing wind of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Thank you, Carl. Pentecost was also known in the Old Testament as the Festival of Weeks. This is something I learned this week while I was preparing for the sermon, that Pentecost didn't just start on the Pentecost that Christians read about. It was a time exactly 7 weeks after Passover when God's people would come together to give the Torah to each other and to others. Because I need to give credit when I find information in outside sources, I need to confess that I got my information about this site from a site called Judaism 101. It was here that I learned the significance of the giving of the Torah during Pentecost. God's people were supposed to be constantly receiving the word, always in all ways, but this was a time when they were to be actively sharing it with others. 7 weeks after the Passover and the first Easter, a time when Jesus' followers were still reeling from the events that took their Lord from them and left them with the charge to share his love with the world, there was this party, the Festival of Weeks. At this party were Jews from all over speaking different languages and probably buzzing amongst themselves about the events that had been taking place over the past 2 months. Surely there were rumors, miscommunications, exaggerations, and the occasional truth, as unbelievable as it probably was. This was the scene then when the Holy Spirit descended like wind and fire upon the disciples and other followers of Jesus. Suddenly, the disciples and followers of Jesus were speaking the word of God in languages they did not know. At this moment, the word of God was opened up to the world. They heard it, whether the disciples knew they were able to share it or not. Now the followers of Jesus and believers in the Holy Spirit were allowed to share, as the Jewish ancestors shared the Torah, our stories and truths with the world. The church was born. So today is the birthday of the church. That's why we wear red and we celebrate and we think about this time. What better day than to think about God's commission to us of hospitality? That's the word of the day. We know that in the descent of the Holy Spirit, we were blessed with the gifts we needed to share God's word with the world around us, to invite them to our party right here. As I read the story of Pentecost to prepare for today, it connected in my mind with the workshops that I've been attending lately to learn how to make our church, Old South Church here in Windsor, the most extravagantly welcoming place we can be. I thought about three things. First, our guest list. Who are we inviting to our party? Two, our skills as hosts. How do people feel when they're here at our party? And three, our party favors and the next times. Do people leave here with something to share, and do they leave wanting to come back? When I plan a party in my home, I'm pretty careful about who I invite. I have to consider the number of people, I live in a small place, the personalities, who's gonna get along, who should meet whom, the goal of the event. I have some football-hating friends that I wouldn't ever consider for a Super Bowl party, especially considering the passion of my football-loving friends. But when we think of our worship service as the party, we need to throw the word careful out the window. We need to know that all are welcome in the house of the Lord. It's not up to us to decide which parts of the service will speak to the people we invite. We don't decide the number. We don't decide who in the congregation they'll click with and whether or not they'll get along. It is simply up to us to reach out and make known the welcoming spirit of our loving God. For in inviting the poorest, weakest, the lamest, the meekest, the loneliest, God tells us, we may be inviting angels into our presence, unaware. Surely angels are on our guest list, right? From the person who's never been to the person who hasn't been in a very long time, they all should know that we want them here. We do, right? Good. Even though inviting new people can change what's comfortable about our church, they might say something that makes us uncomfortable. They might smell funny. They might sit in my pew. It's right there. Nobody sat in it today. But worship isn't about standing still and staying comfortable. Salvation isn't about keeping people out of hell. Worship is about joining in together in community to learn about God's will for our lives. And salvation is about healing people here and now, where they're hurting and where they're broken. Fire, like we picture in the story of Pentecost, is, in the only chemistry term I remember from high school, a catalyst. It makes things happen faster than they otherwise would, or better. So be open to that fire of the Holy Spirit that Jesus' followers felt that day. Let the Spirit move you to be inviters. Know how much Old South has to offer and want it badly enough for others that you move outside of your comfort zone to invite them in. When we invite people to our church, sometimes they say yes. Then what? Your job is not done. How do you host your guests? Do you sit back quietly knowing that if they have questions or needs, they're welcome to approach you and you'll happily answer them? No, probably not. You reach out. You tell them you're glad they came and you introduce them to the other guests at your party. You check in on them, Help them make connections and feel a part of something. I tend to have a job ready if a guest wants to help, because usually they really are hoping to be useful and be a part of the process. If they're not being sincere when they ask, I think they really must be disappointed at my response, because I give them something to do. So we are the hosts at the Old South God Party. As a Flatlander, I sometimes think that the taciturn humility of New England congregations betrays the inner warmth and kindness that I know is here. Sometimes folks feel that they don't have much to offer, so they stay quiet. So hospitality is sometimes considered a spiritual gift, but I think that implies that only certain people, the ones with the gift of hospitality, are responsible for providing and inviting and welcoming congregation. I don't think that's true. I think, rather, that hospitality is a spiritual mandate. We are all charged, even if we're the humble, quiet, taciturn New Englanders. We're all charged with reaching outside of ourselves to invite visitors and guests, to invite visitors to be guests, and to invite returning guests to be a member of our community. A hostess would be mortified if she felt any of her guests felt disoriented, confused, or embarrassed while they're in her house. That's why there's been so much talk lately of signage, and why I had the boys redo their name tag skit. While the name tags might seem trite or silly to some, I do believe our name tags help us to fulfill our mission to be good hosts. Just like the speaking of other tongues at Pentecost enabled communication for God's confused and bewildered people, our name tags give guests a bridge into conversation without requiring them to remember a bunch of names that they've only heard once. They can get the attention of someone in line at coffee hour by seeing the name and being able to say it out loud, or to mention that someone in the choir shares their name with their sister. Also, I think that keeping the name tags here on the board that you saw when you walked in the front door, we hang them back up each day after we're finished with worship, is symbolic. I feel like it tells our guests that while you may have only come that one time, you still belong here anytime you want to come back. Your name tag will be on that board, and we're waiting for you. You're ours because you're God's. So finally, the best parties I've been to usually end similarly. We hate to see it end. We've had so much fun. We say that we want to do it again very soon. We say we don't do it often enough. We either set a date right away or lament that we are too busy to do that. Then hostesses often send their guests away with a gift, a favor to symbolize the memories of the wonderful time that was had. A friend who used to come often and can't come right now because of the time of life he's in still has the stone with the cross etched in it that Mandy handed out during one of her sermon series. I'm sure I'm not the only one who still has a squishy fabric heart in the pocket of a coat that when I reach in and feel it, I feel the love of everybody in my church family. I've marveled at the bags of toys and the candy my sons have come home with from birthday parties, and I'll admit that I've tried to make an impression on their friends with matchbox cars and candy. And I'm not above doing it today. So downstairs at coffee hour, red for Pentecost, fireballs till you remember the tongues of flames above the disciples' heads. And if you want to go to Mr. G's and get some for yourself, don't bother, I bought them all. Certainly a part of the responsibility for having guests that leave Old South feeling like they've received something meaningful falls to Mandy. I feel like we're blessed by her ability to draw us deep into thought and conversation. And if you're visiting for the first time today, please come back and hear her. I feel like it's an incredible gift to all of us to have that thoughtfulness and thought-provoking message each week. But that's not the only thing that gets people to come back. That's only part of it. If people leave here having only talked to one person, and she's the one person they know is paid to talk to them, they leave disconnected, with very little reason to return. So be a reason that they come back. Talk to them, ask them to return, follow up with them after they leave. In fact, let's be the reason they tell other people how special this place is. Let's let our love spread like the fire of the Holy Spirit, warming hearts, healing wounds, and changing lives. Amen.